topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you, never let me go, and lay it all down again, to hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire, no one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. Your mighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? So if you don't believe and you're living life expecting something pleasant to happen when you die, you're in for a nasty shock. You could end up next to your corpse for a very long time or in the oven of the cremation oven for a long time or haunting your relatives or friends or whoever. Really not a good place to be. If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life. So again, if you're living life, you made a decision at some point in time that the Almighty existed and you've carried on living life as though he doesn't exist, well, you're in for a nasty shock when you die. You're going to spend eternity in a place where he is not interested in you, not concerned about you, and totally ignores you. Fair enough, if you ignore him in this life, why should he not ignore you in the life to come? Think about it. If you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yeshua, who you may know as Jesus. To put this in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me. Today's topic is a continuation of the last two, Hell is Real and for Believers, Part 3. Overview of tonight's broadcast. This broadcast discusses the reality of hell and shares a vision of a man taken to hell in a vision. The torment that he describes correlates with the images drawn by the Korean artist that were discussed in last week's broadcast. It is vital to understand that this relates entirely to believers. Unbelievers just die and remain on earth as disembodied ancestor spirits of demons. Finally, we examine some questions relating to your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering. I've been a strategic management consultant for over 30 years and also a business executive. I have 27 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 and he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, and physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. Questions from last week's program. Amy asked, where can these pictures of hell be found? Amy, if you go to the website that I've just mentioned, depending on what device you're looking to view the website, near the top of the menu, you'll find a page with the name of hell. If you click on that link, you'll find underneath that the images, and also attached to that a number of articles about hell. Francis asked, you say hell is only for believers. Does that go for partial believers or only certain ones? Francis, it goes for every believer unless one who dies completely free of sin. It doesn't matter how minimal your belief is. If you just took a decision that the Almighty was real at some point and prayed some sort of prayer and you live the rest of your life ignoring him, you will go to hell for a very long time. And when you've finished, you'll end up in the outer darkness. If you have some level of relationship, but you have a whole lot of unconfessed sin when you die, you will go to hell for a significant period of time while you pay the price for your unconfessed sin. Jasper asks, does this apply to only those who believe in the Almighty and are trying to get close to him, or only those who've fallen from grace? Jasper, as I just said, it applies to anybody who at any time has ever believed in the Almighty. So if you've believed and you've got sin in your life when you die, you will go to hell for a season. Larry says, there's so much to consider about hell. What amount of trying is involved and what time frame are we talking? Larry, you can pretty much instantly turn this around if you choose to. Get on your knees, ask Father to help you, pray the prayers that I've given before, ask for forgiveness of your sin. Ask Father to show you all the sin you need to confess. Take the covenant meal, the bread and the wine, which you may know as communion, and pray the prayers that I've given before. Father, I ask you to forgive me in the name of Yeshua as I take the bread and the wine. Yeshua died so that you could be forgiven. You can turn it around. If you go to Father today and say, Father, I confess that I've sinned. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to help me to clean out everything. He'll help you to do it. There's a document on the website, Seven Components of Drawing Close to the Almighty. It's about 75 pages. There's a whole portion of that document on cleansing, which includes dealing with sin, going through your life, making lists of all the things you've done wrong, repenting of them. There's the prayers there and everything. So I would strongly suggest you get hold of that document today and start applying what you find there. If you apply everything in that document, you will get close to Father very quickly. Avery asks, so you're saying that no one actively tries to be evil here on earth. Avery, I think so. I think that everybody who is doing evil things is doing so because they're deceived. I really believe that the satanic and demonic realm are leading people into evil. There's no question about it. The demons know what they're doing. There's no question about that. They're serving Satan. They're trying to make sure that Satan wins the contest so that they don't have to go to the lake of fire and brimstone. And they are causing people to do evil things. I think even your out-and-out Satanists don't understand the truth that we've been talking about on this program for the last year and a half. I believe if an out-and-out Satanist realized that they could go to heaven and sit on a high throne, they would repent and turn around. Philip asks, if we can have a ministry, how would we know if we're worthy of ministering to others? Philip, it's not about worthy of ministering. You have a responsibility to minister. You're either a prophet, a spokesperson, or you're an evangelist, or you're a shepherd or pastor, but don't use the word pastor, Father doesn't like it. You're a shepherd, or you're a new believer. You can only be one of those four. You have a responsibility to find out what your ministry is and to minister, and you have a responsibility to learn how to minister well. So don't get stuck in this thing that ministers are sort of people who have special qualifications and go to Bible school, etc. Folks, that's all hogwash. It's just not true. Missy asked, are these pictures a scare tactic or a wake-up call for people? Missy, they're a wake-up call. Everything that I'm giving you, these last two programs and tonight, is to wake people up. I am convinced that if people know what hell is like, they will decide to live a life free of sin. Mary asks, can demons ever be seen with human eyes, or is it in the items like smoke and drink? Mary, you can discern demons sometimes. It varies from person to person. I've seen them as sort of blurred outlines on a few occasions. Generally, I don't see them at all. Other people see them graphically and clearly. Pam asked, are those people who do wrong like murder, rape, and other things, are they considered believers? Pam, if a person is a believer, if a person at one point in time believed in the existence of the Almighty, they're a believer. If they go on and commit murder and rape and other things, they will be judged and they will go to hell, as we've discussed. If they continue and it's brought to their attention that they're sinning and they continue in their sin, eventually they will be rejected. Jasmine asked, does anyone know better than others, or are some further on the road to get to the Creator? Yes, Jasmine. If you go on the website and look at my books, you'll see that the cover has got an S-shaped curve, or Z. Z on its side, I suppose. And there are people who are very close to the Almighty, and there are people who are a very long way from the Creator. It's up to each one of us to get as close as we can. Lester asked, have you yourself been through this type of experience, or were you given this information to teach others? Lester, I've had a few very peripheral visions, but nothing like the one that we read about last, that we heard about last week, and the one I'm going to talk about tonight. I've been given this information to teach others. So, to move on to tonight's topic, part three, hell is real, and it's for disciplining believers with regard to unconfessed sin. There are many misunderstandings with regard to the place that is commonly referred to as hell, the place of torment. In particular, believers believe that unbelievers are going to hell, and they, believers, are going to heaven. In fact, unbelievers generally do not believe there is a hell, a place of torment, and for them that is quite correct. As I've said a few minutes ago, unbelievers are going to stay on earth as disembodied spirits, ancestor spirits, demons. They're not going to go to hell. It's the believers who are going to go to hell. This broadcast series references further visions or out-of-body experience reported by a believer who was taken to the place of torment we call hell. Folks, as I have explained in the last 2 weeks, Yeshua, who you may know as Jesus, but that's the wrong name, died a terrible death. He was beaten, he was mocked, he was lashed with whips, cat o' nine tails, whatever. Forced to drag the tree trunk up to the place of execution, nails, big, thick, heavy, rough steel pegs driven through his hands and feet, held up there, died after hours and hours of suffering. It is right that if we sin in our lives and we do not repent, do not confess and repent, and take advantage of his offering, it's right that we should be tormented in hell. So please get a fix on that. This is not something that's unreasonable. Everything Father does is just, and so is this. Looking at visions of hell, in listening to what follows, please be aware of the following. Father requires that I do not edit or censor other people's work. So the article that I present tonight is presented just as it was recorded by the person concerned. It's up to you to sift out any error there may be. Consult the rest of these broadcasts and the website for pointers. In a vision or dream, Father is constrained in terms of the rules of engagement to only confirm or clarify information that is already known to the recipient or to answer questions that they have explicitly asked. Accordingly, all visions and dreams are filtered through the knowledge, experience, and beliefs of the recipient and are therefore to some extent colored and may contain material error. So, if a person only knows the name of Jesus, that is the name that will be interpreted by them in the vision. If they believe that Jesus is God, they will interpret that Yeshua is the Almighty in some form, instead of that he is a man, etc. See also the article on the rules of engagement on the website. It is important to distinguish between the facts of what was actually observed and the interpretation that is placed on those facts. The observed facts are almost certainly reliable. The interpretation is not necessarily reliable. Folks, this is so important. Just because somebody's had a vision doesn't mean they have all truth. Somebody is a prophet doesn't mean they have all truth. We have to discern. I have to ask Father to show us what the truth is. This article was published on my mailing list in February 2011. It's called Minutes in Hell by Bill Weise, W-I-E-S-E. It's another powerful testimony by this chap, Bill Weise, who was taken to hell. It's extremely sobering. Please remember that hell is for believers who have not repented of all sin before they die. It is quite possible for each one of us as believers to spend a portion of time in the place described in this article. There are elements of the message that are distinctly different to what I've written, but I've been told that it is for each one to pray about these issues and draw their own conclusions. I've been told to simply post the report without editing or comment. This message is from http://spiritlessons.com. That's SPIRITLESSONS, spiritlessons.com. There's more material at that website. There are a lot of visits to hell, etc. on that website. I virtually never quote or report the writings of others these days. I generally only write and publish what I believe Father Yah has given me. But he has impressed on me to extract the core of this message today. You'll find the complete article on the website under the Hell page and also on the Spirit Lessons website. Not many people have had the sort of dramatic experience that the young woman last week from Korea, the artist, have had, or this fellow Bill Weise has had. She was an observer. He actually was subject to torment. It's quite horrifying, as you'll see in a few minutes. And the reason I'm sharing this with you is I want you to be scared of hell. I want you to get on your knees, repent, and make a strong commitment from today forward to live a life free of sin. So moving on to the article, 23 Minutes in Hell by Bill Weise, transcribed from a convention in Kansas City called Kansas City for America. The experience in hell happened on November the 23rd, 1998. For the most complete story, it advises to purchase his book. I've omitted most of the Bible verses that are cited and also much of the interpretation and focused on reporting the facts that are reported. It's a long article and I don't have time to go through the whole article in today's broadcast, so I've tried to lift out what I think are the most important parts. But quite incomplete. I got through about half the article, and there's still another 30, 40, 50% to go. But I think this gives the point. I'm not going to continue with the article next week. I'm clear that this is the last I'm going to talk about hell right now. So if you want the full story, it is on the website or on the other website that I mentioned. So carrying on with this, the introduction by the announcer, this is a direct quote. A couple of months ago, Mike Bickle, whom I work with at the International House of Prayer, asked me to teach on the subject of hell. While studying that subject, I was handed a tape by a friend named Steve Carpenter. On that tape was the message you're going to hear by Bill Weiss and his wife Annette. His message rocked my world, and it permanently altered the way I engage my family, my friends, and even people I don't know. It's permanently altered. I'm not exaggerating. So please don't think I'm speaking in hyperboles here. It has permanently altered the way I look at the few remaining years that I have on this earth. It's my prayer that the Almighty will do that in you today. I cannot exaggerate the importance of this message. Bill is a Christian. He surrendered his life to Christ at age 16. He's known the Lord for 32 years. He moved to California in 1976 and spent 10 years under the ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith in Costa Mesa, California. Bill is a realtor, as is his wife. For the last 15 years, Bill has been in the congregation and in the leadership during different seasons of Eagle Nest, under the pastorate of Dr. Gary Greenwald, there in Orange County, California. A pastor there, and this is the continuing with the introduction by the announcer, a pastor there at Eagle's Nest named Pastor Raul came to Bill and said several months ago, "Bill, God's going to do a work of revival. He's going to begin in Kansas City for America. He's going to send you there and you should go." Bill and Annette have never been to Kansas City in their whole life. The next day I called Bill and said, "Would you consider coming to Kansas City? I've seen your video and I think you're supposed to come. I believe they are here at God's command. You're going to hear the vision of hell, but even more important, you're going to hear a vision of intimacy with Jesus Christ and the love he has for this whole world." Bill was in hell. He wasn't a casual observer as so many people have been in legitimate visions, but he experienced the torments of hell for about a half an hour, with absolutely no hope of ever escaping. Bill and his wife are deeply devoted to Jesus Christ and to the work of God and to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You're going to like him also. Please welcome Bill and Annette Weiss. Bill Weiss speaking. It is an honor to be here. This whole trip has been such a blessing to us. Like Hal said, we're in the real estate business. We don't do this for a living. We don't do this for money. We just know that God has told us to go and tell the world about his love for people and the place he doesn't want any of his creation to go to. So that's why we're here. So for the sake of time, I'm going to shorten this testimony and get right to it. First, I want to address a couple of things, questions that might be in your mind. The first question that would be in mind if I was listening to me would be, how do you know it wasn't just a dream that you had, a bad dream? A couple of points to make. First of all, I had left my body. I saw my body when I returned, lying on the floor. So I know for sure it was an out-of-body experience. Some Christians have said, oh, a Christian can't leave his body, but that's not true. In 2 Corinthians 12:2, when Paul was caught up into the third heaven, he said, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. So if he didn't know, that must mean it's possible. And also he said in verse 1 that it was a vision. So I believe this comes under the classification of a vision. In Job 7:14, it says, "Thou scarest me with dreams and terrifieth me with visions." So this is definitely what the Lord did, terrified me through a vision. Also, in returning from this, it took me a year to calm down and become like a normal person again. I was so upset and traumatized from the fear that it's changed my whole viewpoint on how to witness and how much to appreciate what God saved us from. It's an important message. You will notice that there are a number of words, etc., that don't correlate with what I've been teaching. I deliberately haven't changed them. Please go back to the early messages on the of the podcasts to get the truth there. But basically, Jesus is not Jesus. His name is Yeshua. The Almighty's name is Yah. God means the Almighty, and so forth. Continuing, Bill's wife Annette speaking. It was about 3:23 in the morning when I woke up. I just remember that because I looked at our digital clock and I noticed Bill was not next to me, and I heard screaming coming from my living room. I proceeded to go down the hallway. I found my husband in a way I've never seen him before. If anyone gets to know Bill, he's very conservative by nature, very calm and a professional man. He's just not the type to get excited or get real emotional over anything, unless it's God at times. But anyway, I saw him there traumatized, literally traumatized, holding his skull, holding his head between his hands and crying out and screaming. He was in a fetal position on a living room floor. I didn't know what to do. I thought he was having a heart attack. I just started to pray, and he cried out and said, "Pray that the Lord will take this out of my mind. The Lord took me to hell. I feel like my body is dying. I can't handle this." So I proceeded to pray over him, and in about 10 to 20 minutes, he began to calm down. He was literally in a traumatized state, like somebody who went to Vietnam and has a recurrence or a horrible car accident where they're reliving it. It was not just someone who had a bad dream and woke up. So I just want to testify to that. Bill Weiss speaking. I'm so blessed with a good woman. I'm really grateful to God. I've been married for 4 years and have known her for 6, and it's been the best 6 years of my life, I have to say, so praise God. I wanted to find out when I got back from this experience if there's anybody in the Bible who's ever experienced hell. So I began research. I listened to Chuck Missler a lot. He's a Bible teacher across the nation, a real scholar. And he had said that Jonah had experienced hell. In Jonah 2:2, it says, "In hell he cried out." And in Jonah 2:6, it says, "The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought me up, brought up my life from corruption." So at least there was somebody in the Bible that experienced hell. I also wanted to find out, because I was raised in the early days of Calvary Chapel, that any spiritual experience that you would go through should already be in the Word of God. So I knew that if what I experienced was true, it would already be there in the Word. So I began research, and I found over 400 scriptures that depicted everything I saw, heard, felt, everything to do with health. It's already in the Bible, so whatever I'm telling you, it's already there. I'll make some reference to some of the scriptures as we go. I can't quote all 400, but I will for some of them. I also found out that there were about 14 other people that had experienced some portion of hell. Most of them were near-death experiences, people in the hospital dying and were brought back. So to get right into it quickly, my wife and I were at the Sunday night prayer meeting that we always attend with our pastors. We went home like any other normal night and went to bed. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I was taken. I did not know how I got there until I returned. Then the Lord explained. But I was just dropped into a prison cell, just like a regular prison cell, like you imagine, with rough hewn stone walls and bars on the door. I didn't know where I was yet. All I knew was that it was extremely hot, terribly hot. It was so hot I couldn't believe that I was alive. I felt like I should have disintegrated with this heat, but I was still alive. It was light in the room for a little while, and I believe the Lord's presence was there for me to see the scenery better. But then it got dark after about a minute. In Isaiah 24:22, it says, "And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison." Proverbs 7:27, "They shall go down to hell in the chambers of death." By chambers, it means rooms. So part of hell has prison cells, chambers, pits of fire, and big areas of fire. So I was just in a prison cell at this time. Also in Jonah 2:6, "The earth with her bars was about me forever." Job 17:16, "They shall go down to the bars of the pit." So again, everything I saw was in the Word. I've now omitted the Bible verses, as I said earlier, just to get more of his direct account into today's broadcast. Continuing his narrative, "I found myself in the cell, and these four creatures were in the cell with me. I didn't know they were demons at the time because I went there as an unsaved person. God took it out of my mind that I was a Christian. I didn't understand why, but he explained it to me on the way back. These creatures, I didn't realize that they were demons, but they were enormous. They were about 12 or 13 feet tall. And one, you will see in the video, one of the people that gives their testimony, he saw the same demon I did. So you will see what one actually looks like. There's a really good picture of it in the video when one guy was drug up to the bars of hell. It's Kenneth Hagin's testimony. Anyway, it was all scaly. This one had scales all over its body, giant jaws with huge teeth, claws sticking out along with sunken in eyes. They were just enormous. And the other one didn't look like this at all, but it had razor-sharp fins all over with one long arm and out-of-proportion feet. Everything was deformed and twisted and out of proportion, out of symmetry, no symmetry. One arm longer and one shorter, and just odd-looking creatures, horrible, horrible-looking things. And they were blaspheming God. The whole time they were cursing God. I wondered, why are they cursing God? Why are they hating God so much? And then they turned their attention to me, and I felt that same hatred they had for God, they had for me also. And again I thought, why do they hate me? I haven't done anything to them. But they hated me with a hatred that I have never experienced on earth, way beyond what man has the ability to hate with. They absolutely hated me, and I knew they were assigned to torture me. There were few things that I'm going to say that I don't know how I knew. In hell, your senses are keener. You are just aware of more than our physical bodies are. I was aware of distances. I was aware of time and so forth. Much more than you are here. I knew these things were assigned to me to torture me forever in this place. I was lying on the floor of the cell. I had absolutely no strength in my body. I wondered, why can I hardly move? What is wrong with me? I was just aware of no strength, and I was helplessly lying there. One demon just grabbed me and picked me up and threw me into the wall like a glass. He just picked me up like a glass. That was how light I was, or how strong he was. And threw me into the wall, and every bone in my body just broke, and I felt pain. I just began to lie on the floor there, crying out for mercy. But these creatures don't have any mercy at all. Absolutely no mercy. The one picked me up, and the other one with his razor-sharp claws, he just shredded my flesh right off. He just tore it off, and I had absolutely no care whatsoever for this body that God so wonderfully made. It had a hatred that was so intense against me. I wondered, why am I alive? Why am I living through this? I don't understand why I'm not dead. My flesh just hung there in ribbons, and there was no blood, just flesh hanging, because life is in the blood, and there's no life in hell. There's no water in hell. Bible verses omitted. The smell of these demons and the smell in hell were so atrocious. I can't even describe it to you. There was a smell of burning flesh, of sulfur. The smell of these demons was like an open sewer, putrid, rotten meat, bad eggs, sour milk, and everything you can imagine. Take it in, times a thousand, and put it up your nose, and just breathe it in. It was so toxic that it would kill you if you were here in this body. You would die. And I wondered, why am I living through this smell? It is so horrendous. But again, you don't die. You have to endure it. The profanities that they were cursing at God. Again, Bible verses omitted. Profaning, degraded, vulgar language and blasphemies. Bible verses omitted. It is just a cruel, miserable, horrible place that you have to endure. You have to endure all these things. God has made mankind the highest form of creation, and these demons are the lowest form of creation. As men, we work hard to get ahead in life. We better ourselves. We study. But in hell, your life is run by demons. These creatures have a zero IQ, absolute ignorant creatures. All they know is hatred for God, hatred for you, and torture. And they run your life, and you can't do anything about it. Bible verses again omitted. On and on it goes. That was a horrible thing, to have your life run by these creatures that have no mercy for you whatsoever. Point of clarification. These are not actually demons. They're torturers. They're purpose-built for this purpose. It's a torture in hell. Demons are disembodied human spirits, and they are not involved in what happens in hell. The key thing to realize also is that this is reserved for believers, not for unbelievers. Continuing with his narrative, I was lying in the cell and it went dark, pitch black. I mean a darkness I have never ever felt before, and I've been down in caves, way down in iron mines in Arizona. There was a blackness that you couldn't even imagine. I managed to crawl out. Somehow I was able to crawl and they let me, apparently. I remembered where the door was, so I crawled towards it and I felt my way and I got outside the cell. I looked one direction, all black, and all I heard was screams. Billions of people screaming in this place. I knew there were billions and it was so loud. If you've ever heard someone scream before, it's so annoying. But if you hear billions of people screaming, you can't imagine how it affects your mind. You just can't stand it. You hold your ears because it's so loud and penetrating. You can't get away from the screams. And the fear that overcomes you is unbelievable. Everything is dominated by fear. There's no presence of God in this place, so you have to endure the fear and the torment and the blackness. You can't see anything. You can't even see what is coming up against you. Bible verses omitted. And there is darkness which may be felt. Folks, it's so important to understand that if you are a believer and you die with unrepented sin, something like this is going to happen to you. As we saw last week, the specifics will vary depending on the sins that you've committed that you haven't repented of, but you will get tortured. And it's so easy not to go there. Yeshua died to give us a simple escape. Take the bread and the wine of the covenant and pray and ask for forgiveness in the name of Yeshua, and it will be granted to you. Then do what you have to do in terms of making right with people. Continuing with his narrative, the fear, I've got to tell you, was so powerful, it grips you. If you've ever seen some scary movie where the fear jumps up in your throat, if you can take that and multiply it by at least 1,000 and hold it there, that is how you stay all the time. And I know something about fear. When I was young, I used to surf. When I was really young, we were in Cocoa, Florida, surfing. And there was a school or group of sharks coming in around me. And a 9-foot tiger shark came up and bit my board in half. And it grabbed me by the leg and pulled me down. So my leg was in the mouth of this giant shark. I wasn't a Christian then. It was before I was even saved. And then all of a sudden, it let me go. I know God opened that shark's mouth. But for a few moments, the fear that comes into you is absolutely overwhelming. If anybody ever saw Jaws, that fear was nothing compared to actual going through it. The fear was terrifying. The guy next to me was just a couple of feet away, and a shark ripped his leg right off, and they dragged him up the beach with blood everywhere. He was screaming and had no leg. So I understand fear. But that fear was nothing, absolutely nothing compared to the fear I felt in hell. No comparison at all. I think the fear that I felt from the shark attack was one of the greatest fears we could experience on earth. So these are some of the things we have to endure in hell. Again, Bible verses omitted. I was now outside the cell and I looked this direction, and as I looked this way, I could see there were flames of fire about 10 miles away from me. I knew it was 10 miles, and a pit of fire about 3 miles across, and flames that lit up the skyline enough to see the landscape of hell just a little bit. The darkness was so heavy, it just eats up any light, but there was enough to just see some of the dark skyline. It was all brown and desolate. I mean, absolutely not one green leaf, not anything of life of any kind, just stone, dirt, and black sky, and smog in the skylight. The flames were really high, so I could see it. There is no life whatsoever in hell. It is so strange to be in a world where there is no life. Here we enjoy trees and fresh air, but there is absolutely all dead heat. The heat was so intense you can't even describe it. Bible verses omitted. That's what's going on in hell. It is so hot. All these things should kill you, but you don't die. You had to keep enduring all these things. I wanted peace of mind to get away from the screams and get out of there. It's like when you want to go home at night, when you had a rough day. You just want peace of mind. But there you endured all the screaming and all the torment, and you never, ever get away from it, ever. Bible verses omitted. You're also naked in hell. It's just another thing you have to endure. Bible verses omitted. There is no water in hell at all. no water. There's no humidity in the air and no water of any kind. It's so dry. You're desperate for a drop of water, just one. Bible verses omitted. Then one of the demons grabbed me and dragged me back into the cell and began all these torments again, which I really hate to talk about because I don't like to have to relive the torment. They began to crush my skull. One demon grabbed me and tried to crush my head. I was screaming and begging for mercy, but no mercy. About this time, they each grabbed an arm and a leg and were about to tear off my legs and my arms. I thought, I can't endure this. I can't endure this. And all of a sudden, something grabbed me and pulled me out of the cell. I know it was the Lord, but then I didn't know that. I was there as an unsaved person, so I didn't know these things. I just went there as if I had never accepted the Lord. I was placed over next to the fire that I'd seen. I was standing alongside that pit. I was beneath a cavern, like a giant cave with a tunnel going up. Alongside the fire, I could see through the flames, just enough to see bodies, people in the fire, screaming, screaming for mercy, burning in this place. And I knew I didn't want to go in there. The pain I'd endured already was bad enough, but the heat from that flame I knew was worse. These people were begging to get out. There were these big creatures lined all around the edge of this pit, and as the people crawled up trying to get out, they would be shoved back into the fire and not allowed out. I thought, oh, this place is so horrible, and horrendous. All this is going on at the same time. You're thirsty, you're hungry, you're exhausted. You don't go to sleep in hell either. You need sleep just as you do now. Your body needs sleep. Bible verses omitted. You never get to sleep. You can imagine how that is, never sleeping. Bible verses omitted. Continues. What we've covered today is about half the article. There are a whole lot of Bible verses and a whole lot of interpretation which I've omitted. He's saying that this is for unbelievers. I'm saying it's for believers. It's up to you to go before Father and find out which of us has got the correct. I've been praying for many, many years, judge me severely, correct me harshly, that I may serve you more perfectly. Lead me into all truth by your Spirit. Show me the level of my present deception and how to correct it. I've been on something like 7 fasts of water-only fasts for 3 days at a time, 7 days, seven such fasts in a series, and I've done that about 7 times, seeking truth. So I have a high level of confidence that what I'm saying to you is correct. However, it's up to you to discern and make up your mind. To sum up, the verbal images are graphic. It is vital to understand that it is not necessary for you to go to hell. It is entirely possible to get free of sin in this life and stay free of sin. Yeshua died a terrible death to make this easily possible, but it requires self-discipline and determination and prayers like, Father, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to lead me into all truth by your Spirit. I ask you to show me the level of my present deception and how to correct it. I ask you to judge me severely and correct me harshly that I may serve you more perfectly. And so forth. See the pages on prayer on the website, also the episodes on prayer about a year ago on this program. Folks, it is really easy to deal with your sin. You have to choose to do it. And it's not that difficult to live a life without sin. Father has given His Spirit to help us live a life without sin. Think about it. Yeshua died a terrible death. Why should you get off scot-free if you can't be bothered to deal with your sin? It really doesn't make any sense what the church teaches, frankly. In drawing to a close, I'd like to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are right now. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and will be bitterly disappointed when you die. You could pray as follows: Father, I come to you in the name of Yeshua. I have just realized that you want me to seek a deep personal relationship with you. I choose that now. I ask you to help me and guide me. I ask you to fill me with your Spirit. I ask you to give me wisdom and understanding and favor. I ask you to bring the people you want into my life and take the people you don't want in my life out. I want to ask you to open the doors you want opened in my life and close the doors you want closed. Help me to draw close to you, Father. Help me to know your will and to do it. Help me to hear your voice and be instantly obedient. Show me everything I need to do in order to draw close to you. Show me everything I need to do in order to become your friend. Lead me and guide me, Father. I give my life to you. I will do whatever you want me to do. Amen. I challenge you to pray a prayer like that right now. You will be surprised at what happens. Wrapping up, 5 key documents, all main menu web pages. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. 7 components in drawing close to the Creator. Recommended worship, songs that are strongly recommended. The Creator's name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? All available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcript of nearly all teachings in the series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are on the radio page, and they're all available at http://relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio, all one word, .com. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page and are physically available. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. Be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. There's a substantial amount of information on the website, the culmination of 27 years of walking with Father. Most of what I've written is on the website. So whatever your questions are, there's a good possibility that you'll find an answer there. Otherwise, please contact me. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the ministry mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, this is really important to understand. Unless there is at least one human being in right standing and right relationship and free of sin at the end of the millennium, which is around about May 3003, so 983 years from here or something like that, Yeshua will not return. Jesus is not coming soon. Jesus is not coming for nearly 1,000 years. We have to make his enemies his footstool. We need to make sure that there's somebody in right standing with the Almighty on that day. I want to make sure that there are millions of friends by that day. I want there to be billions of people who believe and are in some level of good relationship with the Almighty by then. I want to turn the situation around, and I'm asking you to join with me to make this a reality. It's time that we take this world back from Satan and his cohorts, and it needs your help to do it. I appeal to you. Let me know if you would like to help me. Thanks so much. Good night. Father, I